Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies bring you... Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies bring you Terry and the Pirates. Today is Friday the 13th, but don't you ever believe that it means bad luck. No such thing. This is just a Friday like any other Friday, only better, because there's only one more Friday before Christmas. Think of that. Yep, and I wonder what Terry and Pat and their friends think on this Friday, way out there in the Chinese mountains, hemmed in by snow and many miles from Chungking or Hong Kong. What sort of a Christmas will they have? Well, it's still too early to find out. So stand by for news of the day.
Oh, here comes Quaker with a bang, bang. Ra-da-da-da-da, bang, bang. Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies, the wheat that's hot from guns. The family's favorite breakfast, the wheat that's hot from guns. Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies have vitamins to tell. The easy step to extra pep, and boy, the taste is swell. Here comes Quaker with a bang, bang.
Hi, gang. Say, have you got your wits about you today? Then tell me, what should be looked into? You got it? Why, a mirror, of course. That gag should be looked into, too. And say, gang, confidentially, you didn't break any mirrors today, did you? Or walk under any ladders or have any black cats cross your path? Well, I hope not. Man alive, do you know what day this is? It's Friday the 13th. That's what I said before. Well, sir, a lot of people kind of figure Friday the 13th is a pretty unlucky day. But believe you me, it can be a mighty lucky day for the person who decides right here and now to get the breakfast shot from guns. Shot from guns. The first chance he gets. That's right. Gang, that's a bowl of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Puffed Rice Sparkies with milk and sugar and topped with fruit. Good? Why, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Puffed Rice Sparkies are the famous breakfast grains shot from guns. They're tender, crisp, and packed with flavor. They're good for you, too. Furnish restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. You ask Mother to put both kinds on her shopping list tonight, will you? That's Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies and Quaker Puffed Rice Sparkies. But remember, they come only in the big Quaker packages that are red and blue. They're the breakfast treat for you. Everything is connected in some way with something else. Air is tied up with water, water with land, land with animals, animals with people. People with water, air, and so on. It's the same with a mystery, such as the one our friends have just run across.
See, Terry, if you look back, you'll see that this isn't a new mystery, but part of an old mystery. We just happened to get tangled up in it. First, we ran across Sainsbury and his yacht, and that led to our getting into the search for and finding Dr. John Quill. Because of Quill, we learned that you had a half-sister, and so we find her. Way out here in this mountain village of Zichang.
Yeah, and she has Dr. Quill's briefcase with papers in it that show he was anxious to find a man named Irachi somewhere in China, a man who never sleeps. And for the answer to why Doc Quill wants to find the fella, well, we'll have to go back and ask Quill himself.
Right. And so, you see, we travel in a great big circle and everything links up. But unless we find a way to get out of this snowbound place, the chain will be broken.
And so on this cold, clear Friday the 13th, Pat, Terry, and their friends assembled in the cabin of Ginger Lee, the newfound sister of Terry. It was quite a crowd. Flip Corkin, his Scotch companion, Teddy Bone. There was Connie, Hotshot Charlie, and Elita.
Okay, gang. Gang, can I have your attention?
Although I guess there's no need to explain anything. This village of Sichang is anywhere from 50 to 80 miles from Chungking. And then I think I know most of you pretty well, but I've never asked if any one of you can use snowshoes or if you can travel on skis.
Mr. Ryan, you're looking at the best skier who ever fell head over appetite down the New England hills.
Are you sure, Charlie?
Me? I could ski before I could walk. Yeah, and I couldn't walk after I went skiing either. Say, what's up? Maybe I should have asked that first.
Well, Miss Lee, Ginger will explain. Go ahead, Ginger.
All right, Mr. Ryan. As you know, there's been a heavy snowfall, but now the weather's clear. I can't predict what the next 48 hours will bring, but the natives tell me we'll have clear and cold weather today and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. How long will it take to get to Chungking on foot, Ginger?
Well, it isn't exactly on foot, Terry. You see, with skis and snowshoes...
Say, is that the gimmick? Is that the idea, skiing to Chungking?
Well, I know the trails very well, but it isn't wise to go alone, you know, if anything should happen.
Like getting caught by the Lolos?
Oh, no, there's no more danger of that, Mr. Hotshot.
That's
but
good.
The trip is dangerous for one person. A sudden fall and...
That's
well,
me all
in
over.
Case of delay, two people are better than one.
So, Charlie, do you think you can still manage a pair of skis?
Well, I used to burn up the snow outside Boston. That's how I got in the flying game. But enough of my lurid past. Sure, I'll take a hack at it. Chungking, you say? Oh, when do we shove off?
We can leave almost immediately. We may not get to Chungking by nightfall, but I know of a Chinese family hidden away in a valley. They'll take us in for the night.
Good. So this is our first attempt to reach Chungking and try to get out of this mountain country, huh?
Mr. Rahm, if and when Ginger and Charlie get there, then what?
Well, at least they'll let folks know we're alive and well.
But, how will that get us out of Sichuan?
Oh, I figure it this way, Miss Aleda. There's a spot just below here where a plane can land.
Yeah, but with all the snow...
I see what the gal's driving at. The relief plane lands on skis. Sure. Oh, why didn't my big brain think of that? The plane sets down, boom, takes off across the snow.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Corkin. Almost every flyer knows where Sichuan is, at least on a map.
Then we ought to get busy and lay out some markers for whoever comes back here.
Right, we can all get busy and shovel out some marks on the landing spot, or tramp the snow down so it can be seen from the air.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, better tell Ginger and Charlie what the marks will be.
Yeah, maybe I can fly the crate back here. I'll try and arrange to drop a portable radio transmitter so I can talk to civilization. Like you say, it's only 80 miles.
Are you all ready, Charlie?
Yeah, just taking a few practice spills. I'll get onto it again, Ginger. It's like riding a bicycle. Once you learn, you never forget.
Now then, Mr. Ryan.
Yeah?
I've told the villagers where I'm going and why. They'll understand, and they'll continue to mind their own business. I don't know how long it'll be before a plane comes over. Maybe in another day, maybe later, but we'll do what we can.
We watch Ginger and Charlie glide down the long hill and become tiny, moving specks on the vast carpet of white. The air was cold and dry, the snow firm and crisp. And we, all of us, tramped down into the small valley to mark the landing strip.
I'll tell you one thing, Patsy.
Yeah?
Yeah, the ship that sets down here will be a single motor, Jabbo. It'll have to be. Hey, look how short a runway it'll have. And not much room on either side.
Uh-huh. But I suppose Charlie knows all that, huh?
Yeah, we both looked at this spot. It'll be a small plane on skis, and that means that only one of us leaves this for second place at a time.
Yeah.
Let's see. You and Terry and Aleda. That's three. Connie, Pettibone, and me. That's six. That means six round trips. Well, if it's 80 miles one way, that's, 160 miles times six. Hey, that's almost 1,000 miles of flying. Oh, well, what's the odds so long as we get home by Christmas? And that's a week off. So, leave us get this.
Charlie, Aleda, I never walked so much in the snow before.
Yeah, lots of walking and getting nowhere. I gotta stop a minute.
Well, do you think the marker's big enough?
Well, I can't see it from the air, Terry, but it looks like an arrow. Yeah, I think a pilot could spot it if he wasn't flying too high.
Hey, Flip, how does it look? Looks okay. A little crooked. But it looks like an arrow.
Okay. Gee, maybe we will get out of here before Christmas.
Yes, I was thinking about that, too. But if anybody wanted a real Christmas postcard, this would be the place to take a picture.
Well, I'll take my Christmas picture indoors at a table with some food. I have had enough snow to last me for a long time. Golly, I wonder where Charlie and Ginger are about now.
They have been gone about 3 hours.
I bet they don't reach Chungking today. I don't see how they could.
Well, all we can do is wait. I'm going back to the cabin, Terry. I'm cold.
Yeah, so am I. Guess we made a big enough arrow on the snow.
Hey, Pat. All right to knock off work?
Sure, okay. Go inside and get warm. I'll be right with you.
All right.
Come on, Connie. Now, what's going on?
Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Say, what's all this about a man who never sleeps? I heard Mr. Ryan talk to you about it, and... I didn't want to butt in.
Well, it's kind of a mystery, Aleda. It's something Dr. Quill never even mentioned to us. He kept it to himself.
Well, our first job is to get away from here, I suppose.
Uh-huh. You see, all the notes and papers in Dr. Quill's briefcase had something to do with a man named Irachi, a man who never sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's crazy to say that, but that's the idea. Well, Doc Quill had an insane desire to find this man. He's in China someplace. And maybe when we meet Quill again, we can ask him to give us the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But, as you say, let's get out of here, and let's hope Ginger and Charlie reach Chungking safely.
Yeah, I see you. But I'm no gazelle on these foul stays. Brother, why'd they open my big mouth? It's been 10 years since I did any skiing. Well, on your feet, old man.
Okay, here I come.
I hope.
Alone. Are you all right, Charlie?
I'm all in one piece.
Oh.
I hope these skis are. Boy, sliding around the country on a couple of boards. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm getting awful tired of running into bushes and trees when I want to stop. Why don't they invent air brakes for these bed flaps? Yeah, go ahead and laugh. I guess I bit off more snow than I could chew, Ginger. But we'll make it. We'll reach Chungking if it takes all winter. Guess it will be at the rate I'm going. Crash landing every mile.
I've stopped that way, too. Well, there's laughs and spills and ever-present danger of freezing and delay. And there's still the unanswered mystery about the man who never sleeps. And as we said in the beginning, everything is connected in some way with something else. So stand by.
Quaker Puff, we spark, he's the wee bad shot from guns. Here comes Quaker with a bang, bang. Ra-da-da-da-da, bang, bang.
Gang, what do you do when you get to the bottom of a package of Quaker Puff Wheat or Puff Dry Sparkies? Well, if you ask me, you'll want more. Yes, indeed you will. These delicious ready-to-eat breakfast grains shot from guns are a taste treat you'll want to repeat. They've a tempting come-again flavor, a comeback for more crispness. Two reasons, two mighty good reasons why today more people than ever before are enjoying the breakfast shot from guns. Now, how about you? Don't be missing out this weekend. Check now. If your supply is running low, you had better order more. Just be sure the famous Quaker Man is on each big red and blue package. That means it's the original, the one and only Quaker Puffed Wheat and Puffed Rice Sparkies. Terry and the Pirates is dramatized for radio by Albert Barker, who says, you'll be anxious to find out if there is such a man who never sleeps. And why and how does he connect up with Dr. Quill? But first of all, you'll want to see for yourself how a valiant attempt is made to rescue our friends from the mountain snow village. All this comes about starting next Monday. Same time, same station. Terry and the Pirates is directed by Wiley Adams.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.